boy, run. This world is not meant for you. Run, boy, run. They're trying to catch you. Run, boy, run. Running is a victory. Run, boy, run. Beauty lies behind the hills.
Live from the 1480 studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, and none other than Eric Reinert. How are you guys?
Yay, I'm fine. How are you guys?
See, that was a good yay. I like that. We should have a yay contest. Ever think of that?
I'll bring back the challah.
No, what does that have to do? Challah? What? The challah is a bread. Right, Eric? It's a bread. Challah.
I don't know.
Yeah, challah is a bread.
Or okay. Hallelujah. But I don't know that.
Well, that's okay.
What's challah in this context?
Challah. I don't know.
Well, oh, that's
what?
Like hola.
Is that like Dala?
Oh, Dala Parton. Yeah, she's really.
We are bringing back the 90s.
We are.
Guys.
Yeah. What's up? Zach
Morris style.
Do you have change for a Dala? Is that what you mean?
Wasabi.
Yeah. Oh, is that that's a mustard, right? Wasabi?
It's a root of a plant.
Oh, yeah, it's a root? Japanese I thought it had something to do with mustard, right?
And today is our mustard show.
It
no,
is?
No.
Oh, I don't like
sit
mustard.
Sit back, relax, get a drink. And
I love lamb.
No, if you know this song, Run Boy Run by Woodkid, it is from Divergent. This is the Dauntless theme song.
The Dauntless.
Okay. Dauntless faction theme song.
What
yeah?
does Dauntless mean?
You know, they like running.
Oh, it's Dauntless with a D?
Dauntless.
Oh, I thought it was like Gauntless. Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was like Pirates of the Caribbean, Walk the Gauntless.
No.
Whatever that
That's
means.
A good song. It gets you all like revved up to run after a train or something.
Oh.
What movie was I watching? Then?
I don't know.
You were probably watching The Face of Love.
No. Well, oh, that one too,
Am
yeah.
Am I right?
Well, we'll talk about that one as well. But today is our young adult book series show.
Yes.
Mouthful there.
So we'll be talking about vampires.
Vampires and
vampires.
Werewolves.
Well,
and aliens. Oh. And
I know about
Jennifer Lawrence.
Mortable Instruments.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And
I haven't seen any of those.
Hardy Boys.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
There you go.
What was the... There was a female detective, too, that was a young adult book.
Oh, Emma Roberts.
Yes, that was a different one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't remember that.
I didn't see that movie, but yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think the definition is of divergent?
We're going to talk about that actually today with our special guest. I'm sure our special guest is going to tell us more about exactly what it means, because there's divergence and convergence, but it means to basically not fit into any particular
tending
faction.
To be different, maybe develop in different directions.
Yeah. Because convergence is means that you have to fit in one hole exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like thinking outside the box, right, Dave?
I do.
I didn't ask if you
No,
did,
I'm
but,
repeating
okay.
what happened October 26th. Do you take this, like, blah, blah, blah? I do. I think I said yes, actually.
Okay. Nice.
Okay.
Is there a rule?
Dave actually
yes?
just said
no.
Mm-hmm.
The person, the officiant mm-hmm. said you could say, I do, yes, or...
Can you repeat
or,
the question?
The question was, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I say let's move on to divergent because I have
okay,
no idea
yeah.
what you're talking
right.
about. Yeah.
Yeah, but it should be a really good show today. We got a lot of different guests. We'll be talking about the big event that's going to be taking place in 2 weeks
Ooh.
From now.
There's a big event?
Yeah.
What is it?
I'm getting an award for host of the year.
The worst host of the year.
No, it's Channing Tatum's birthday. No, I'm kidding.
I think that's just
Jump
passed,
22.
Right?
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
22 Jump Street, Dave.
That one.
But that's not 2 weeks away.
No, the thing that's 2 weeks away is the Phoenix Film Festival.
Yes.
Oh.
We'll be previewing that. We'll tell you we got some more exciting news near the end of the show,
we do?
So you'll want to stay tuned.
Yeah, should I stay?
Yeah, sure,
okay.
why not? And, you can go.
I don't know, I think we've got this.
Yeah, and again, we'll be talking all about Divergence and some other movies, Divergent and Divergence. We'll talk about some other movies throughout today's show. You know, some other awesome guests, one from right here in the Valley who made a movie called
Very
Locker
cool.
13, and
yes.
an actor named Jamie Bamber, who's in a movie that we'll be talking about today, John Doe Vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
So a really jam-packed show. But I wanted to start off, you know, by a continuation of last week. You know, it was our St. Patrick's Day special, right?
Yes.
We had a lot of fun.
Yes.
We had a psychic.
Yes, we had a psychic.
He said you're
Patrick
gonna...
Smith.
Yeah?
Yeah. So what his prediction was, because I was going to this St. Patrick's Day bar crawl.
Did you find the raven?
Raven? Did he say that?
Didn't he say there was a raven here? Did,
well, not well. That was another conversation. But he said, okay, the two women that I was supposed to pay attention to.
One was sort of.
Oh,
foreign.
I thought he said something about making sex with a brunette female.
What?
Oh, no. Well, what show was I listening to?
I don't know.
No,
probably,
that was my psychic.
Two girl
reading.
Girls or something.
Well, your wife's blonde, Dave.
Exactly.
Careful there.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah. No, but the prediction he had for me was at this bar crawl, there were going to be two women that were going to, you know, kind of, yeah, I had to pay attention to.
And one was sort of foreign.
One was foreign. She was born outside of the United States.
That's
outside
right.
of the United States.
Yeah.
So she lived here.
Oh, good stuff.
And the other one was possibly darker haired.
Someone mysterious.
Oh, she was very mysterious.
About a brunette.
Aloof. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't say brunette. I don't know if he said brunette.
I thought he said dark hair or brunette or something.
Darker hair.
Aloof.
Yeah, very, very, very aloof, very mysterious. And one of them was going to be wearing blue, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
He said, look out for the one in blue.
Right. Well, yeah. I think that he had, he was a little bit off there because there was someone in blue. There were three women at the bar crawl that kind of stood out. Okay?
Yes, let's talk about that.
Now, first of all, I just want to say that in terms of St. Patrick's Day, I felt like the luckiest guy in the world because I have the best friends. I've got like 15 people who just like made me feel like, you know, lucky as could be.
Like, is very Danny good. One of them?
Danny was great.
Nice guy. I like Danny.
Danny's a great guy. And
who else?
I try not
Ted?
To. I don't want to get.
Judd?
What?
Judd from people. Beverly Hills?
I don't want to say people's names because sometimes I get in trouble for doing that.
Okay, but I have psychic ability.
Even the first names people don't like me to say. Complaints.
Well, I just want to see the picture of the three girls, and we can.
Well,
compare.
No, I haven't. Well, I do have pictures, which I'll show you in a second. But I did meet someone who was born outside of the United States.
Oh.
Very good.
And this was not like I did go around asking everyone, like, were you born outside
so
of the United States?
So the two hundred.
But this one,
women.
Well, this one, because I was kind of hosting a part of the event. I was
hosting
organizing
and
a group,
coasting.
And she sent me a text because I made my text available, and you know, so there was a young woman from Uzbekistan.
Where is that?
She have dark hair?
Yes.
Was she wearing blue?
Well, she had like green. It was St. Patrick's Day, so it was tough on the blue thing.
Yeah, and that, well, that's the psychic should have realized that, you know, you weren't going to find a whole lot of blue.
Right, right. Except for the people who aren't very fun. Right?
Or except for the people who are old school, because blue used to be the idea.
That's
very
right.
True, mm-hmm. Very true. But no, for me, there was the one young woman who was from Uzbekistan, so that came true. She was a lot of fun. I didn't even know her, but she like joined the group, and she was having a blast right off the bat.
Yeah.
So big props to her.
Did you make out with her?
No.
Big props?
It's not all about that.
She
isn't?
She had big props?
All right. So then the next...
How big?
No, the next person was...
Are they built for speed or comfort?
The next person was slightly dark-haired, very aloof. I've known this person. She's always been aloof, and it's
and
very
mysterious.
Very,
what's aloof mean?
Aloof means like...
It means like she thinks she's better than you.
Oh, one of those.
Oh,
and
aloof.
That describes her perfectly, and I think I'm tired of
she's from Scottsdale, right?
So he was sort of right on. Now, did you get, you know, like hand-holding or something?
No, but the person in blue was not one of these two people, because, you know, she was born... This young woman was born in the United States. I want to give a big shout-out to Shannon.
You mentioned her name.
Shannon, she wouldn't mind.
You're going to get
she
in trouble.
Mind. She wouldn't mind because she was wearing blue earrings.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Maybe that counts.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she gave me the funnest experience that I had of the night. You know, let me back up here for a second.
That sounds good.
Watch what you say because he may be lowering the bar.
Was it relaxing?
Probably. No, one of my lifelong dreams is to be on a series like Big Brother, a reality show like Big Brother. I know.
Yeah. I can arrange
kinda
that.
Silly.
Well, actually, it's probably going to happen soon. I've never seen Big Brother, but
there's
going to be a reality with Joseph starting...
I can't wait.
As soon as we get a new camera.
Well, I can't wait because, you know, one of the things that they do on Big Brother is every time someone wins a competition, someone runs up to that person and, like, jumps on them and hugs them and they're screaming.
Yeah.
I'm crossing the street because this is a bar crawl. And as we explained before, you go from bar to bar, right?
Did you look both ways?
And okay. I didn't, but let's not say that on the air. I was crossing the street and then all of a sudden this green thing started running toward me.
A green thing?
It was Shannon. Shannon with blue earrings, she jumped on me and started hugging me like she hadn't seen me in 1,000 years.
Oh, my God.
Well, let's hear a very important question. Did you fall over when she jumped on you?
No, but
that's
everyone...
That's good.
You should have.
If you know what I mean.
No, okay. If you know what I mean, you should have. Yeah.
No, but it made me feel like $1 million just to, you know, that someone was that excited to see me.
Wow.
So big shout out to Shannon for, you know, because everyone needs to, like, have someone run across the street and hug them.
Is
like,
she cute?
Yeah, she's cute. Of course. All my friends are beautiful. Except for the aloof one. She's not beautiful
on the
inside.
We got to see these pictures, though.
Right,
so
yeah.
Why
okay.
did she do this? What was the point?
I know there's
the
more to it than looks, though.
Right? No, she did it because she was excited to see me. But see,
but she didn't know you.
There is a picture of a lot of my friends.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Come on, it's better to look good than to feel good.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Well, there's a lot more guys and girls in there. Well, I'm not sure about this one at the bottom. But the one from
Uzbekistan is in there. She's next to me.
Yeah.
The one from Uzbekistan. And the one on the bottom right-hand corner, she is the aloof one.
Where's the Shannon one?
Shannon's not in that picture because she was too busy dancing outside. She loves dancing.
Oh, there you go.
Where are you?
I'm in the center.
Yeah, he's getting
that's
mobbed
you?
By...
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, there you are. Who's the baby rama near you?
He just mentioned who she was.
I just told
you.
One from Uzbekistan and the aloof one. And
there's Danny.
Yeah,
Danny.
Did you say the aloof one is cute?
Yes,
she actually is, but you can tell.
I'll take a look at the break.
Yeah, I'll show you during the break. Okay. But let me show you my costume
before.
Maybe a
6.5.
Let me show you my little costume because
I don't mean on the Richter scale.
Wow, there
that
you
would
go.
Be heavy.
Yes,
yeah.
But
yeah,
you
that
know,
would be a big one.
But I, this was my outfit for the bar crawl.
Oh, there you go.
I wore spoons.
Look like a tall Warwick Davis.
Green spoons.
Oh, green spoons.
There you go.
Yes.
You look like a leprechaun.
Thank you. And yeah, anyone who
no, you do.
And
no, this, not the picture right now.
And I went up to women and I said, you know, I am the best spooner in the world.
The best spooner.
Yes, I was.
Are you gonna have a spoon?
But here's my question with that: does everyone know what you're talking about, the spooning game? Because I
no,
still
they have
don't
no
know
idea.
How,
that's what
I
made
don't
it
get it either.
Fun.
This is
does
exciting.
It make it fun or does it make it like where they're like, whoa?
No, they've asked for a spoon.
Come on, buddy. Here,
the thing is, they thought it was a game. They thought it like they had to pull the spoons off of me and submit them to someone. They thought that I was some sort of like prop for the party.
So that's okay.
And then some people
like a
started
gift card treat.
Yes, exactly. And people started like pulling spoons off of me. And at some point, I finally just started. When I saw an attractive woman, I said, I gave her a spoon. And I said, hey, would you like a spoon? And
would
they
you
took
like
it.
A spoon?
Yeah. I should have said that, but that was a little
yes.
I think we should do a spoon off starring you.
I think we should do a spoon like slap crazy. Bet where you hit each other in the face with spoons.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah, we can do that.
Combine the two.
I'll tell you that one in 1 second. But the spoons, it was
a lot
of fun.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Unfortunately, some people gave me the spoon back.
Why?
Including the aloof one. So
let's see that one. What is this
one?
That's another picture.
That one is Shannon. That one's Shannon.
Okay. Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's how do you make this bigger?
I'll show you during the break because it.
We'll look at it later.
Oh, she looks like she really likes you.
She was a lot of fun. Like I said,
you could tell the type of hug. You know, the hugging is as an art form, and she has her left hand on your chest, gently.
Looks like rubbing it, but it's a still frame. She's
moving
in there. Yeah.
And when
they're that touchy-feely like that, she really wants the touchy-feely.
Well, I'm pretty hot. Look at that. Look at that muscle there.
And she,
you know,
Joseph's
actually been working out a ton. Because
I noticed that.
When I saw, when we first met, 2 years ago, you know, I can never remember back to what people look like or what. To me, it's you look the same. But I think there was a picture that I saw. I'm like, that's Joseph.
Yeah,
we're much heavier.
Yeah.
There's a picture on your website, the Breakthrough website.
That's probably what I was looking at.
Yeah, a long time.
You used to look 6'2" or something.
Sorry, not a lack. It's update.
But you can tell she's really all over you on this one. She's very like almost bear hugging you, her legs sort of wrapped around your legs, and you're sitting there like really like Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman.
Yes, and you know, so then when you think about people who are happy to
which
see
she's
you,
probably never seen.
Yeah,
no, I haven't. Some people who are happy to see you like that, some people who are aloof. Who are you gonna pick? I'm not, you know, you're not going to bother with the aloof people for long.
You're going to pick Shannon.
Yeah, of course. I'm gonna, you know, I enjoy hanging out with all my friends.
We have a surprise. We're going to have a hug off.
Okay. Well,
I'm not hugging anyone.
No, I'm not involved in that.
That's okay.
No,
that's
Shannon's
okay.
coming in studio, and we're going to all hug her.
Okay.
That sounds illegal.
No, it's okay.
She is listening, by the way.
I have MasterCard. So. No, what?
Oh, gosh.
What was that?
That makes it legal.
But anyway, one final thing about my spoon party and the psychic and everything like that.
Yeah, spoon party.
No, spoon party.
I want to hear about the psychic.
No, just what? Yeah, the psychic. All the psychic stuff came true.
Oh,
just the fact that you know I had such a good time with these people and the one person being aloof and the one person wearing blue and the one person being from Uzbekistan.
Nice.
Okay, I believe in it. But one last thing, our Irish expert from last week.
Yeah.
They were they took it so seriously that I was so desperate to find a woman.
They sent you over.
They're trying to matchmake me.
Really?
From Ireland?
Well, that's
with an
really
Irish
cool.
woman.
No.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. Yeah.
No, so, that could be Irish coffee with
So
Joseph.
Irish women across the world, or at least across America, have
Better not
my
be
picture.
My mother or sister.
It might be. You never know.
Oh.
Hey. Are they hot?
Oh, well, my mother's 74, and she's still hot for a 74-year-old.
Say?
Oh,
how about your sister? What about
my sister's very good looking, and she's 53.
Oh, what do you say, Joseph? A sister?
Well, actually, sister's already taken. Eric, we were going to
And starring Joseph Reinhardt.
Oh, no.
No. Why would I take their name?
Well, why would you go to Ireland to find the Babarama?
I don't know.
I think
because
this is
there's so many attractive women
This
right
is a great
America.
Idea. We want to do a campaign. Joseph and...
Well,
wait, someone from
well, actually, seriously, off the at the break, we'll talk about what the plan is, because there is.
But, I like the
but
plan.
This Shannon, though,
and I'm
nice.
Okay with him hyphenating his last name, Joseph Erdo Reinert. That's fine.
Yeah, I think it's
I
good.
Oh, I get to be first, too. Awesome.
Yeah, that's fine.
Wait, what was your sister's first name again?
No, you don't want to be.
Oh, that's right, Wendy Isaac. So, I had forgot what her name was, but yeah. Sorry.
No, but in all seriousness, I had a great time last week. I did feel lucky because I have the greatest friends. You know, I'm not like...
Who's dinging in there?
Dave usually
I'm dinging.
He forgets to turn his phone off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's turned off now.
Yeah,
and then it buzzes. Oh, sorry.
When can we meet Shannon?
Well, why don't
Let's have Shannon on the show. There's an empty microphone right
there. Yeah, come on. Get Shannon over.
There's an empty spot.
All right. Well, anyway.
Shannon.
Okay. Well, we're having a great time here. I have
now
a great time at these parties.
Now any chance he's had is probably ruined, Dave. Shut up.
Okay.
She's probably scared to death of us.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, I am a lone wolf, and you cannot tame me.
Oh, that was in Twilight.
Yeah, that too.
No,
I was thinking about Zach Alpha.
Lone Wolf.
Yeah, that too. Well, I'm a lone wolf, so, you know, I think I'm going to take a nomadic year or something like that.
What's a nomadic?
No idea what that means.
I don't know. Was this means I'm going to take a break
a
from
nomadic.
Women.
Was this the first time you've met
a girl?
Shannon?
No, I knew all these people.
Oh, okay.
The only person that I hadn't met was the one from Uzbekistan.
Oh, okay.
Do they all know you're a radio personality?
That's the thing is, I told everyone when everyone was freaking out that Shannon attacked me. They said, "Why did that girl just attack you?" And I said, "Because I'm on the radio, and I guess she looked me up on the website, and she was excited." I said, "That's like a stalker fan or something."
Is that true?
No.
Stalker.
No, is it true that she knows you're
like
a radio personality?
Yeah, of course. Everyone knows I'm a radio personality.
Oh, okay. I didn't
Some
know.
People don't care.
Most don't, they?
No, I think people care. Eric,
don't
you think people care?
I guess.
Yeah,
I
see?
Yeah. Certain people
it's
don't
two
care.
To two.
Aloof people don't care.
But the way Shannon was all over you, she cares.
Yes.
I saw her hand in your pocket.
All
Do you have your wallet still?
Dave, here, one
What's
word
on
of advice. You don't talk about it if you are. You don't, because when you do, it looks like you're insecure or something.
People think you're boasting.
Right. That's why you don't.
I'm his manager.
I've
in
known
other
people
parts
for
of the
years,
country, they
I
call
have no
it something
idea,
else.
You know, we do the show.
Right.
Because I don't talk about it.
All right, so you're a radio personality.
Yeah, anyway, I had a great time. I've got a lot more parties coming up.
I don't blame you.
Halfway to Halloween bar crawl.
Well, we need to get this camera going. You can send your donations into us or give us a call.
We're starting a Kickstarter campaign. 252-1480. Yeah, we're starting a Kickstarter campaign for Joseph's reality show.
Yes.
And then we get him a little earpiece so while he's out there, we can give him some tips like, yeah, no, turn over there. Yeah, that one over there. Choose her. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is what you say. So we're going to get donations. And
this will be fantastic.
So what type of bank are we going to make these deposits?
Oh, but Joseph, you got to keep the camera
well,
on.
Well, if you
though,
do Kickstarter, it goes through
her into the room. So
okay, all right. Well, I'm
excited for you.
We'll have a lot of fun because, again, I am a lone wolf. You can't tame me. I just enjoy having fun. I'm not out there, you know. I make it sound like I'm desperate, but I just enjoy making friends. And when the right one comes along, then the right one comes along.
That's okay.
That's the way to think of
He'll
it.
He'll be coming
Absolutely.
Soon.
Yeah. That is so mean. But anyway, not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course not.
But we like the Irish women.
Right. But all right. Well, I think we got to take a break before our guest comes on the line. We will talk a little bit about Divergent in a little bit. But
in a
this song
bit?
In a little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
But this song is from Divergent again. It's called Beating Heart by Ellie Goulding. Ellie Goulding.
I think I remember Goulding? When the song was in there.
I don't remember it.
Yeah. Well, we are old, so memory is pretty bad.
No, I was eating potato skins.
You were?
Yeah.
How many bags of popcorn did you have in it?
Oh, only half a bag.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll find out if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
There's a fortune. I went to AMC Dine-In.
Nice.
The Dine-In.
Dine-In.
Yeah, like $100 later.
Okay, but anyway.
No, do that again.
No, okay. There's more. But anyway, and after the break, we'll have on actor Jamie Bamber from John Doe Vigilante.
And then we'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Bierenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Streaming down your face when I said I'll never let you go. When all those shadows almost killed your light. I remember you said don't leave me here alone. But all that's dead and gone and past tonight.
And that's either Joan Baez or Mama Cass. I'm not sure.
Isn't,
who is that?
Isn't the song from Twilight?
No, the song is actually from Hunger Games.
Oh, is it Adele?
The first Hunger Games,
Taylor.
No. Taylor Swift.
Oh, the reason you were doing a food thing, like eating. So
a flute. Like a loof of flute.
Wait, why did you do that for Taylor Swift?
Hunger Games.
Because, also because Taylor Swift could use a sandwich.
She can.
And that's why I said Mama Cass. Sorry.
Safe and Sound. Safe and Sound is the name of this song. It's Taylor Swift. Okay. Obviously, if you hear the high-pitched voice, and you can't really tell that how attractive she is.
And we are live, 1480 AM KPHX. I didn't say that. In Phoenix, Arizona. Breakthrough Entertainment. Dave Isaac, Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert. And back to Joseph, the Spooner of the Year.
A Spooner of the Year?
Yeah, you are. I heard
Why
that.
Just of the
we
year?
Gave you that award. You just didn't know
it. You're the Spooner of the Day.
You know, the prize
I
for
spooning
is a golden
I think you spoon about three times
spoon.
A day. In fact, that's the average.
Well, the prize for Ultimate
With,
Spoons is actually a golden spoon.
Little Joseph.
Oh, golden spoon?
Yeah,
like the golden
spoon.
Duck.
There's
or
been
goose.
Two golden spoons awarded so far.
He's the right.
I still
left.
Have not won. I was in the I was number four in the last competition. I came in. What a, that
well,
doesn't even place.
Yeah. What do you have to do to become number four?
Hey. We can't say that on the air. We'll get dumped.
Oh. Okay.
Ways.
Film at 11. All right.
But anyway, yeah, so there's this movie that we're going to be reviewing a little bit later on today's show. It's called John Doe Vigilante, and hopefully in a few minutes we'll have on our guest call in. He is the star of the film. He is actor Jamie Bamber. Mm-hmm. The movie, Jamie Bamber plays an ordinary man who fights violence the only way that he knows how. By killing one criminal at a time, is he a hero or a villain? Are his actions justice or vengeance? You decide in this movie, and we are fortunate enough to have on the star actor, Jamie Bamber. How are you today?
I'm very well. How are you?
Great, great. It's great to speak with you today. Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm madly dashing back from my kid's soccer game. I'm in the car. Unfortunately, we got delayed, so I'm still in the car.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we don't want to take up too much of your time. We want you to enjoy your... the soccer game, but so tell us a little bit about this film and how you got involved in it. It's a very intellectual film. It's you've got a lot to think about in this film. So what drew you to it?
Well, I was shocked by it. I was shocked when I read the script. It seemed to me for a bit there to be a call to arms for individuals to sort of stand up and say they've had enough and take the law into their own hands to some degree. And I think it does tap into a quite a popular and broad feeling that maybe our courts aren't being as efficient as they could. But it's a much more problematic film than that. And as it unrolls, I think it challenges everyone to really think about what they think about victims, about aggressors in society, and how we solve those problems. And it's also very much about the media and how the media covers instances like this. And we've had several, you know, in the U.S. in this last year in Florida. You know, stand your ground instance of people taking responsibility for their own safety and the safety of their neighbors. And it's controversial, and I think it'll get everyone to think, but it's also a really good thriller as well. I mean, there's a couple of great twists in there, and hopefully it'll entertain as well as challenge.
Absolutely, and you know what's really great about this film is it is quite different than most of the movies that we have coming out here in the United States. Most movies tell you what to think, they tell you what to feel, and this one kind of lets the audience, you know, decide for themselves. Don't you think
that's a great point, and that's absolutely right. And I think that's why it's been a difficult film to sell because of that, because you don't come out whistling the songs, and you don't come out sort of punching the air. You come out kind of. Hopefully you've been challenged and you've had to think about what maybe the opposite political view or social view is, and you've had to sort of understand a bit more about how other people think that maybe don't agree with you. So I think it's in the end it's a sort of mature film, and it's one that hopefully, you know, won't be too controversial, but I think people will enjoy it, and I think you know, there is a satisfaction in looking at these issues, and for me it was a great fun character to play, because he's a normal guy who's just been through some extraordinary stuff, and his reaction to it has been extreme. But right at the heart of it, there's a big twist at the end. I don't want to give too much away, but you find out, you know, a bit more about his own personal situation.
Absolutely. And once again, we're talking with Jamie Bamber, actor, star of John Doe Vigilante. It came out yesterday here in Phoenix. And, you know, I'm curious, how did you get into this character? Was there any research involved, especially since there was just so much material and you know, stuff that you kind of had to tread lightly?
Yeah, I mean, for me, there were several challenges. I'm an American Brit, and I was going into Australia to play an Australian in an Australian movie, and that brings its own challenges. But for me, the role was very much about trying to get the sort of hardened convict. This guy's been in prison for a while when you first meet him, so that's galvanized and sort of made he sort of put up a front, a wall. If you like, and it was getting the contrast between the man before all this started that you do get glimpses of, and this sort of, he's become a kind of icon of the media. He's become a hero or a villain or whatever. He's not really human, and he's sort of turned into a monster just through the course of actions he's taken. And that was a stretch for me, and I really enjoyed it in that sort of way.
Jamie, let me ask you a question. You know, somewhat controversial topic. We talked about it a little bit earlier when you came on. Do you ever get letters from either side saying, hey, this would be appropriate in real life or not appropriate? Do you ever get letters like that, or anyone ever from in the newspaper make comments about anything like this when it's controversial?
Which the choices I've made as an actor.
From a, you know, like fans or...
Well, because the movie just came out yesterday, so I'm not sure how many people have been exposed to it.
I do get letters all the time from fans, and normally, you know, normally the kind of stuff that I've done, it's people who are extremely supportive. I mean, whether it's Battlestar Galactica or Law and Order UK, Band of Brothers, Horatio Hornblower, the things that I've done have been, you know, by and large, I've played good people, they're trying to do good things. And so this is a bit of a departure, and I don't know. I don't know how people are going to respond to see me, you know, in this light. But I remember when Leonardo DiCaprio was initially cast in American Psycho, and the world was outraged because he'd done Titanic and he'd done Romeo and Juliet, and he was very much a teen heartthrob. And in the end, he backed out. You know, luckily for me, or not luckily for me, I'm not Leo, and I don't have that huge, huge following, and my following tends to be mature, adult-type people. So I'm sure they will understand why I took this on. I took this on because I did find it a challenge. I wasn't sure initially what the film was trying to say. It seemed to be dangerous at times in fighting people to take responsibility for their own situation in a way that, for me, Jamie, is completely amoral. But by the end of the film, when I finished the screenplay, I was just challenged to understand what it must be like to be a victim and to empathize with that position. And yet I still believe in justice. I still believe in society. I still believe in, you know, that the people to make decisions about the fate of criminals are not the aggrieved, not the victims, because they are not necessarily the in a sound emotional and mental place to do so. And that's why we have a legal system. But I think the film does acknowledge that a lot of people do feel like the victim are sort of downtrodden in society. The victims don't have their moment in court to explain, and they have to live with this stuff for the rest of their lives. And I think it's a valid point of view to put across, but I think by the end of it, our film deals with it maturely, and you understand how complicated and destroying this path has been for this man, and how really it's society that have decided that he's a hero and he's the solution, and he's arguably a broken victim of it himself, and he doesn't actually like the place he's got to, and that's his tragedy, I think.
Right, yeah, and Dave's question actually brings up an interesting point here. I'd love to ask you, when you're choosing films, is it more about what's going to advance your career, or what you feel that you need to do, or what you would like to experience and the challenge that you would like to do?
Well, you know, hopefully it's a bit of everything. I mean, that's a great question for an actor like me. You know, I've been lucky enough to work with some fantastic people, mainly in television, but I've done some of the best television, and I've been blessed to do that. But in films, I haven't had a great deal of opportunity or choice. So my whole sort of aim as an actor is to be able to choose and make more choices. And I'd love to be doing the material that I want to do, and I'm trying to develop stuff on my own right now so that I can get to that point. But occasionally, you know, you make choices based on what's actually available to you, and you do hope it advances your career. And this role is a stretch for me, and one that I really enjoyed playing, and it's different from anything I've done before. So for me, it was partly the role, partly the nature of this film. I haven't read a film like this, really. It is an ideas film, largely. It's not one that's based on nuances of character until you get glimpses of it towards the end, and I hope by the end of it you've got a three-dimensional portrayal of this character. But it really is kind of an issues film. But it's also, there's some great, you know, sequences and twists, and there's a really good thriller in there too. So for me, this was a no-brainer, and it was a script handed to me on the set of Battlestar Galactica by a friend of mine who's a photographer, whose friend wrote the script. And normally those things are terrible. You know, your friend's written a script and it gets given to you and you feel you have to read it and politely give them some pointers. But this one really was like I hadn't read anything like it. And I'm still not sure, you know, what the film, how it will be received. But that's why I did it. It was a risk. It was a challenge. I wasn't sure I could do it. I wasn't sure the film would work. And I'm actually pretty proud of it.
Great, great. And, you know, in case we have any listeners who are just joining us, we're speaking with actor Jamie Bamber. The film is called John Doe Vigilante. Just came out yesterday. Now, I know that it did just come out yesterday, but I imagine that people are, you know, they know that it's on their radar. They've seen trailers for it or whatnot. They've seen it online. I know you've got a contest going, which we can bring up here in a moment. But has there been any backlash in terms of the subject matter? Because I know that the filmmakers, we have an interview with them on our website, breakradioshow.com, with Kelly Dolan and Stephen M. Coates. They're very passionate about this subject. So is there any, has there been any backlash, or do you, or have you heard of, or anyone suspecting of any?
In every screening that we've done, there is inevitably a quadrant of the audience who feel, you know, it's pretty violent. Like, there are moments of violence, but in its defense, the violence is never glorified, and it is a film about violence, and it is a film about, it puts the audience through different responses to violence, and sometimes you find yourself rooting with the aggressor. And hopefully the net result is the next piece of violence will shock you and will repel you. So you have to examine your own bloodlust at certain points in this film. So, yes, there are people who cannot watch violence of any kind in the movie theater who don't like the subject matter, and I totally understand that and respect that. And those people, you know, do tend to walk out. They do tend not to want to watch the rest of the film. And I understand that. But I think if you do stick out the film, like, my mum came to see it the other day, and she hates violence of any kind. And the thing is, she was visibly and audibly shocked through some of the film. But by the end, she felt that the violence had to be there, because unless you experience it, unless you experience some of the violence that seems to be condoned and you seem to feel good about it and you're rooting for the vigilante, unless you have that moment, then you aren't able to experience the next moment where you're absolutely repelled by it and you realize how frightening any course of violence is, because at that point you've been made slightly complicit. You know, you were rooting for it the first time round. So you have to examine yourself, and then you have to understand how people in society do get frustrated and aggrieved and angry, and you have to relate to them. And that's, you know, all good drama puts you in someone else's shoes, and you relate to someone you wouldn't ordinarily relate to. Like, when you watch Macbeth, you're watching a murderer, a cold-blooded murderer, but nevertheless, he has to involve you in that decision process, and you have to feel it. And I think, you know, this film hopefully does that. But yes, it will shock some, and it's not for everyone. It's not for the faint-hearted.
Excellent.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that we could use a lot more movies that make us think. So, you know, it's been an absolute... oh, Dave's got another question before we let you go.
There's been some really great films in addition to yours, Jamie. I think Billy Jack, that was one of the earlier great films that... And this may be before your time, but
several... Yeah, I don't know it.
Yeah, and, well, let's see, how about... What was
Death
that?
Wish.
Yeah, Death Wish.
Yeah,
what,
I remember those, yeah.
1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, and those sort of set the parameters and how people can actually feel for the victims. I mean, it was a horrible murder, you know, in that particular film with the wife, and I think the child survived, but you know, some of those things are interesting, that the emotions switch from maybe the top value is, hey, you know, these criminals, you know, it's tough to deal with, and sometimes the laws are a little bit slow. So I think that's the point they're trying to make. And I was just wondering if you've seen some of these films before, and was that part of the... Yeah, they're really good. I mean, I would recommend Billy Jack, though.
But I think, yeah, I'd love to watch that one. I mean, I think a lot of those films, they do tap into a kind of base sort of, you know, I think the term that some people use for those films is like revenge porn. You know,
yeah.
It's sort of a release that you feel by you know, getting the bad guy and punishing him firsthand, up close, personal. And I think our film is referring to that tradition. It's referring to it, but I don't think it's entirely embracing it, I hope. Like, I hope our film is about that kind of entertainment to some degree, because there is a theme through this movie which is about how the media latches on to something like this and uses it for its own purposes, for ratings, for, you know, to grab eyeballs, because we're all into this. We can all relate to that kind of lust for vengeance. But if society's given over to individuals who lust for vengeance, you've got anarchy pretty quickly. And I think, I don't even blame the media. I think the media has changed so much in the last 20 years. It's now 24/7 cycle. I mean, the plane crash that's happened right now. We're watching hours and hours and hours of no news, because nobody knows anything, you know. And I think what needs to change, and what our film is talking about, is it's the audience. It's how we consume the media. We need to get more savvy about what is news and what isn't, what is entertainment and what isn't. And because we've got now 24/7 everything all the time, we haven't quite adjusted our own sort of critical radar to cope with that yet. And, you know, I think our film sort of acknowledges that. And it's also about these old, you know, revenge porn films. And I hope it's not quite in that tradition, but a bit more of a challenge to audiences. It's, you know, is this entertainment? Should this be entertainment? And, you know, despite that, ironically, our film is a sort of entertaining thriller by the end. So, you know, we are kind of guilty of the same thing, but hopefully we're causing the audience to think about whether they should be enjoying it.
Well, all excellent points. Again, we were speaking with actor Jamie Bamber. It was an absolute honor to speak with you. The movie is called John Doe Vigilante. It's in theaters right now. You should go out and see it. So, again, Jamie, thank you so much, and we look forward to speaking with you again here on Breakthrough Entertainment.
It was my absolute pleasure. Nice talking to you guys. And, yeah, do check out this film. Let me know.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Phenomenal. You know, he's very intelligent, as you can tell, and it is interesting that he did think about that. And even the film... It's done and made. He's still not exactly sure, as he said, you know, what that message was. Mm-hmm. But Eric, you're right. Death Wish, Billy Jack. You probably saw Billy Jack.
Right? I did, of course.
I mean, those are, you know, it's really.
And Walking Tall was another one.
Yeah.
The Punisher.
But with, it asks the question, you know.
Thomas Jane?
Yeah, both of them.
Do you do anything for justice? I mean, Billy Jack was quite brutal and. But, you know, he was protecting a lot of innocent people. It's an interesting question. I mean, I'm not suggesting that we all go lawless right here. But it is an interesting question that brings up prejudice in the world, and that's certainly
well, I think at certain times something has to happen, you know? I mean, if you know, like in Walking Tall, like the town was all crooked, and the guy just had to do something. So yeah. At some points, there might be reasons for vigilanteism.
Yeah. Yeah, and
some good movies, though.
In 2 weeks, it's actually going to be our superhero show. We're going to have on a real-life superhero. Sounds silly, but believe it or not, we have you all the time. We got to have someone else wearing another interesting costume. see, that's what you're missing.
I'm wearing a Pink Floyd shirt. Come on.
Well, when you come in here in tights, then we'll talk. But
you'll leggings, talk. Dude. I won't be talking.
Sure.
I'll borrow some of Kathleen's leggings.
Oh, there we go.
But it wouldn't be your first time.
Now you're flustered.
No, it wouldn't be his first time. No, I'm kidding. I'm giving you a hard time.
You might be correct.
Nice. Role-playing.
I think there's movies like that, too.
Well, we've gotten completely off topic, but before we go into our break, I want to mention that you can go to breakradioshow.com. We've got on the article with the director of this film and the writer of this film, you can enter a contest that you can win free Netflix membership. So that's really cool, yeah.
That is very cool.
Yeah, and this song's going to take us into the break. Is again, from Hunger Games. This one's from Catching Fire. Atlas by Coldplay.
Oh, I love Hunger Games. Are we going to review
Divergent
next?
Yeah,
oh, can't wait. We're going to rock and roll on that. And we are live from 1480 AM Studios KPHX in Phoenix. Breakthrough Entertainment. We'll be right back.
About to explode, carry a world. I'll carry a world.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better.
Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
There's no saving anything. Now we're swallowing the shine of the sun. There's no saving anything. How we swallow the sun. But I won't be no runaway, 'cause I won't run.
No, what song is that, Joseph?
Runaway. By the National.
Sing it. I said, what song is it, ladies and gentlemen?
It's called Runaway. It's by the National, and it's from Warm Bodies.
Oh, I didn't see Warm Bodies yet, but I have felt it. And this is live, 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Breakthrough Entertainment. I'm Dave Isaac, Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and get back to Warm Bodies. That picture of you and Shannon look pretty hot. Hot Bodies.
Warm Bodies was a pretty good movie.
Yes. That would be, you know, it's not a series. So, yes, mm-hmm. This is our young adult book series show, but it's not a series.
But it's based on a...
It is based on a book, but it's not
is.
A series. Oh,
yeah, okay. You need a series to make a series.
I know. Well, it should be a series because I would say out of all the young adult books...
That was the best one.
That's been, like, the best one.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a great movie. It was one of the best movies of last year. Probably in my top 20.
Top 20?
You got to see it.
Eric will be seeing it.
Who's in it?
Teresa Palmer.
Yes.
And Rob Codry.
I think Mac
Rob
the Knife.
Yeah. And Franco's brother.
Oh, Dave Franco.
Dave Franco.
Dave.
Yeah. I interviewed him when he was
Franco,
in town.
Good guy. Yeah.
No, thanks.
It's a really good movie.
No, it's good.
Oh. Yeah.
Did you see Homefront?
Yes.
Good
stuff. James Franco was pretty good in that.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
I saw Twilight.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a
twinkle,
little bit.
Twinkle, twinkle.
Yeah. Yes, but I know we're going to talk about Divergent here in just a second. We'll give our reviews, but you were excited that you saw something. Do you want to share that now? Or
oh,
later?
Yeah. Probably the greatest two movies of all time. What were they? And I had the... I don't know.
All time.
Yeah, I saw it on video, demand thing, because I have premium channels, and so it's part of it. Then you don't see this out very often.
You like mobster movies.
Yeah, so that gives you a hint. I'll sing it, in fact.
No, don't sing
Godfather. Godfather.
Yes. Yeah. I saw one two nights ago and two last night. I fell asleep through two, but
I even liked three.
Three wasn't that good.
I liked it.
Oh, you did?
I am number four. Oh,
yeah. But really, guys.
A fourth one would be great. With Andy Garcia being older now, they should make a fourth one.
I was thinking of that. Wouldn't that be sort of cool?
That'd be awesome.
But Al Pacino died in number three. Now, what do you guys think? I mean, really, one of the greatest. 1972 was the first Godfather movie. 74. John Cassell, phenomenal. Did I say his name right? I think so. Fredo. What's his
Fredo.
Name? Yeah. And a phenomenal actor, but he died of cancer, sadly, like in 1978.
He was also in another Al Pacino movie.
Dog Day Afternoon.
Dog Day Afternoon, yes.
And he had cancer during that time. He still acted. His partner at the time was Meryl Streep.
Okay.
Really?
Oh, Joseph is excited. It's before the young lad's
time. I feel bad the guy died in the 70s. But yes.
Trying to evoke emotion, and you guys are like, come on, move on.
Well, we have no idea. I mean, don't get me wrong. Godfather obviously is a great movie, but what are we talking about?
So, Eric, you can relate to what I'm saying. Great movie.
I can.
See, thank you.
Our demographics have just changed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got rid of Shannon for you.
All right.
One less listener.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the purpose of today's show. It's our young adult book series show, Divergent.
Oh, not The Divergent. Divergent.
No, not The Divergent.
Yes. Divergent.
Shailene Woodley, you know her from The Descendants.
I think she's a great actress.
Yeah, she's a great actress. She plays a young woman who is warned that she is divergent and will never fit in any one group. When she discovers a conspiracy to destroy all divergents, she must find out what makes being divergent so dangerous before it's too late.
Nice.
Ominous, right? So,
what does that do with The Godfather? No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, I got to interrupt real quick before you say anything. Yeah. I'm looking at Dave's computer. He has notes. You may not want to say some of that because some of it gives away the movie.
Don't and spoil the movie.
I know this like to read off
just came things out yesterday.
So after Joseph gives his review, maybe let me do mine first and then you could attack from that.
Okay, I'll do an attack from that point because I'm like Ron Burgundy, whatever is up in the, what do you call it?
Yeah, you actually read from the thing.
Well,
teleprompter.
Yeah.
Where is a teleprompter here? I can't even say it.
Yeah, no, you can't. Well, all right. Well, we had this little contest going. You guys
You thumbs down.
You thought I gave it a thumbs down.
I think you gave it a thumbs up.
And Eric, what do you think? Did I like it? Did I not like it?
Thumbs down.
I'm giving a thumbs up.
Yeah, there we go.
I think that this is one of the best young adult book series movies that I've seen. I like it better than The Hunger Games. I like it better than Twilight. I like it much, much better than some of the other movies that we'll be talking about a little bit later on in today's show.
There's other ones.
Yeah, well, we got, yeah. But
God
anyway,
help us.
Yes. Oh. Well, and that's, I want to say that it's still not my favorite movie of all time. It's my favorite genre, it was a step up. I followed it. You know, it took me a little while to comprehend the unique qualities, you know, because this is like a complete new world that they create for this movie. I mean, I'm still trying to get used to the whole thing about districts and tributes and all that Hunger Games stuff. I got to learn. Yeah, I know. Well, now I got to learn all factions.
Yes.
And so we can go over those in just a second. But yeah, I thought that this was one of the best of the franchises to date. It drew me in with compelling characters, a story that kept me on the edge of my seat. It's fun, thought-provoking, and extremely exciting. Obviously, that means it's a thumbs up.
I was going to say, I actually have Dave do his review before mine. Just don't read the third line.
Okay, gotcha.
The rest, I think you'll be fine. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the sex scene. Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, I just said it. So, just kidding. Anyway, fast pace. I will say, for 2 hours and 23 minutes, I believe, it was fast pace. I was never bored. But my mind was searching for, what is this? You know, I think if you read the books, you may have different experience because it filled in the gaps. I've talked to some people that read the books, and they admitted that some of the things were not developed very well. And I thought it wasn't developed. The factions were not developed. I think the characters were not that well developed. Oh, Greg, I see you chomping at the bit. I thought it was removed from reality that, you know, part of her character was sort of supposed to be like Jennifer Lawrence, I think, compassionate but tough. I don't think she was tough at all, despite, I won't say some of the parts of the movie, but despite some things that happened in the movie that she should have developed this. I thought it was too much movie time on one certain area that dragged on and on, sort of a militant type of training scene, not enough time developing characters or the groups, the factions. I just didn't even see that relationship really fully developing between, you know, two of the stars. I thought the fight scenes were average at best and probably a D-. Thumbs down, Twilight and Hunger Games, way better.
Wow.
Way better.
Wait, why were the Hunger Games and Twilight fight scenes way better? Let's just ask.
If you looked at the last movie with the Twilight scene, is very clever. It was very clear. It was it evolved emotion. All the characters, people could relate to. Team Jacob, Team Edward. no, really, that's what the buzz was going on. So people had of an affinity to really be attached to many of the characters. And when some of them died, that was, you know, it would be emotional for the people that, it, you know, had an affinity for that character. But then I could tell the end of that movie because it's already been out, but it was a dream. You know, it was a vision by, what's her name? What was her name?
But here's the thing. Is that
Which movie was, are you talking about?
That was the end of the Twilight saga with Ashley Green.
But the first one started off well with a development of characters so you can relate and understand their personalities. Here, it went way too fast.
Well, I want to hear Greg support my opinion here, because this is what I'm going to predict here.
Well, I do support your opinion. Thumbs up. And better than Hunger Games and Twilight. And then we'll do also an opinion of the three leading ladies from the three franchises as well. Although Nikki Reed's my favorite.
That's going to be, Jennifer Lawrence.
No, Nikki Reed wasn't the leading
Jennifer
lady.
Lawrence.
Okay, shut up. But here's the thing. One thing for Dave is that while I haven't read the Divergent books, in fact, I had no idea what it was until like a week ago. I read somewhere, though, that the movie, they purposely changed a little bit so that there's reasons for maybe some differences. When you say the character development, maybe that's the only thing I'll look at and say maybe they could have done it a little different with maybe some of the more minor characters. But I think there's a reason behind that, because we're going to see that maybe in upcoming films. I think they there's a reason they had to do that. But I thought the fight scenes were fine, and I forget her name in the movie. Triss, of course,
Triss,
main character, obviously. The thing is, she was tough. I mean, this is a different type of movie than The Hunger Games and Twilight. Well, Twilight, we won't compare, but The Hunger Games, when you say a Jennifer Lawrence type tough character, remember, this is more of like she's intellectual.
She was abnegation. She's kind.
And
she
adapting
generous
to things, and that's why she's able to learn things. And so I thought it was great. I didn't know what to expect going into it because, again, I hadn't heard of this until like a week ago. What's Divergent? What is it? But I thought it was good.
What's with the tattoo?
The guy's back?
Yeah, on his back, yeah.
That's the poster.
Right. Well, and he's got all the symbols of all the factions on his back.
Yeah. Good for him.
And I don't want to exactly reveal why he has all those symbols.
Right.
But they didn't even develop the factions for him.
Well, here's the factions. Quick. I know we only have a couple more minutes before the break, but here's the factions. Which one are we? Abnegation, which means selfless. Then there is Erudite, the intelligent. And let's see, we've got Dauntless, the brave, and Amity, the peaceful, and finally Candor, the honest.
What's the sixth one for Greg?
Divergent. But no, you can't pick Divergent.
I think it's between the last
Divergent
two you said.
You think that you're either Candor or...
Or the one right before it.
Dauntless, the brave?
No.
Peaceful
and honest.
Amity?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not brave. I'm scared to death. But
I think that I am either the honest one or probably mostly abnegation for me.
To be Dauntless would be pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'd be fun to be Dauntless. But I think for me, I'm abnegation.
Well, part of it would be.
I tend to let people step all over me. And,
what?
Yeah, but how about you, Dave?
What's that other?
We'll talk about it after the break. But this is, of course, probably another one of my favorite of the young adult series, The Host.
Oh. The Host.
Yeah, The Host with Saoirse Ronan.
Seven Up.
I actually did see that.
Yeah, she's good.
Come on, that's good. This is a good. And I love this song. Don't you?
Imagine Dragons.
Yes.
Fantastic. And this was the return of Blue Diamond Phillips, if you watch the music video.
Waking up. There we go.
Oh, it's just one pass.
There's
the
singing.
Eric,
keep going.
Blue Diamond Phillips.
He was in this music video.
He's in like a bunch of Crackle movies.
Little Louder.
Yeah, he's sort of for sure.
No, Louder.
Whoa. No, wait, but Joseph,
there you go.
This is such a good song. Hey,
Jax, Phoenix, Arizona, we'll be right back.
And the return of singing.
Oh, there we go.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.